welcome. It's a small group, but that's actually a good thing. There'll be more interaction, and also there's a tool, a 360 tool that I want to hand out to you, and it wouldn't really have worked with too many. But anyways, thank you for attending my presentation. Were you all at the event last night, the Tapas event? Yeah. I missed that, but I will be there tonight. But anyways, thank you for attending. Now, did any of you attend my presentation yesterday on personal branding?
No.
Okay. It was full, right? Okay, because I just want to, there's a little bit of an overlap with this presentation today, so that's good information to know. Okay, well, here we are. A little bit about the agenda. What we're going to be talking about today is the power of storytelling, the brand called You, and 12 ways to build your 2.0 brand, trends, and resources. So if you came here today to hear about the brand called You, that might mean that you're a little bit egotistical, no? Wanted to start off the morning with talking about you. Well, that's what we're going to do. The word story is a powerful word. When you use the word story, you really set expectations. I don't know if you remember, I know you remember Jim's presentation yesterday where he told the story about becoming a jockey, right? I was like taking notes, but I was also counting the number of times that he used the word story. Just in the first 10 minutes, I think I counted about 12. It really sets expectations. And in fact, this Susan Wycheck, who's a psychologist that I've interviewed, and also she features in my book, she wrote her own book called What Makes Them Click, in terms of, from a lot of neurological research, why people click on sites and links and, you know, the whole process. Well, she was telling me how she had her aha moment about the impact of the word story. So she was telling me, she said, you know, I've given lots of presentations throughout my career, and I realized over time that when I would mention the word story, people would start to perk up in the audience. They were like, what? And she said, and then I started looking into this neurological research that's actually quite recent that indicates that our brains are actually wired to process stories as information in a better way than where it's told in, say, lists or you know, bullet points. For example, I like to compare the resume versus your bio. Your bio is more of your story. But now there's all this neurological research where they've used MRI technology to actually study the brain. And they've identified that there's better retention. And also there's that emotional connection as well. Because when you tell a story, you start to imagine. So what were your favorite stories growing up? Yes. So as a child, what were your favorite stories?
My favorite story is about Cinderella.
Cinderella. I like that. Cinderella. How about here, over this table? Which one? Oh, Disney stories. Okay. Yeah. Grizz, okay. And what about from this table? What was one of your favorite stories? Or if you have children, what's their favorite story that they like to hear you tell? Okay. Yeah. How about Richard? Okay. I know my daughter, who's 12, she always wants to hear the stories from my life, you know, as well. She has her favorites as well, but... you know, the stories of when my, you know, grandmother was out in the garden and the bull got loose. she wants to hear it over and over again. But yeah, we all have our favorite stories. But it really is powerful. And actually, there's been research that indicates that the first 5 words that children utter across any language is first maybe papa or mama, and then it's the word story. It's in like the top 5. So we have story, histoire, geschichte, storia, and some of the other ones I can't pronounce. okay. But yeah, there's a lot of, as I mentioned, the research is amazing, and it's actually quite recent. Well, I had my aha moment in terms of finding out the power of the word story. So let me tell you a little personal story. We'll deviate a bit here. I had I worked for about 7 years for one of the leading tour operators, and a lot of you in the meetings and events and hotel industry may recognize the name Atauk World Discovery. So they're a very high-end tour operator, and I ran tours through the Canadian Rockies here, the Hawaii, and also in the Pacific, in the southwest of the United States. And so as a tour director, I was responsible for finding out all about the information and imparting this knowledge about the flora, the fauna of these areas that we're traveling through. So I just, I bought tons of books, and, I could tell you all about the statistics of, the elevation and the precipitation and the glacier retreat. So we were going down these beautiful parkways in the Canadian Rockies, and I had a captive audience, the really nice coaches that you've been in coming here. Okay, I lived in those coaches. I mean, that's where I worked. That was my office. And I was telling the people about the flora and fauna. Well, what happened is that, as I was imparting this knowledge, we were going through, this is a beautiful Peyto, a glacier lake. So I was telling them about, the glacier retreat and, the ice age and all this. And this is what happened. Now, they weren't all like that. Some of them would actually put on their dark sunglasses and fall asleep. So what I found is that when I started to tell stories about, Wild Bill Peyto. He was born in the UK, and he moved to Canada. He went to build the railroad, the first Canadian Pacific Railroad that went across Canada. He was a trapper. He also was a guide. He took these Europeans on these guided tours around the Canadian Rockies, and he had bear stories. And anyways, in telling the story about Bill Peyto and his stories, I also weaved in the information about the flora, the fauna, the nature, but all around stories around Bill Peyto. Well, what about in Hawaii? Okay, instead of giving statistics about the volcanic activity and the lava flow, I talked about Pele, the goddess of fire. And she lived in the world's most active volcano. And the lava flow was because she threw lava at her lovers. She was very jealous. All right, so lots of stories around Pele. So that's where I discovered, that was my aha moment about the power of storytelling. So my definition, and you can look on Wikipedia for the definition of story, there's lots of definitions out there, but my definition is a story is an expression of real and imagined experiences, fictional and non-fictional, that are shaped, crafted, and weaved by the storyteller in a sensory fashion. Okay, by sensory, I mean touching the, taste, all the senses as much as possible, but in various ways. So how have, historically, how have stories been told? Well, maybe originally huddled around the fire. But stories are told in dance, in opera, in music, in singing. Stories are powerful. And in books. And these days, the Kindle, yes? So we tell our stories in the professional sense, in the interview. How many here have interviewed people? Yeah? Okay. And you've all been on the other side of the table, right? Being interviewed. Well, as an interviewer, Richard, do you remember candidates who impressed you with their stories, or do you have any? Yeah. I mean, they're what is your definition of a story? Just in a very basic sense. I know you just came in, but put you on the spot. What is your definition of a story? Okay. Need your coffee, right? Okay. Well, the basic structure of a story is a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? But there's good and there's bad stories. There's well-told stories, and like Richard mentioned, sometimes you said that the candidate sometimes had a story, but it was a little bit off off track. Well, you want to make your story with engaging, compelling, and with an end, with an ending. In an interview situation, you're telling your story. When in the elevator pitch, I think you've heard that term. Does anyone not know the expression elevator pitch? Because I can explain it. Okay. So, or your 60-second commercial, that's the other way of explaining it. But you're telling stories all day and online. There's lots of choices to tell your story online, from Second Life, from virtual worlds, on Google, LinkedIn, Twitter. Okay. So first I wanted to establish in this presentation, because it's about storytelling 2.0, about the brand called You, first the impact and the power of storytelling. So we got that established. Hope you all had your aha moment at this story. So now, what is a brand? I want to establish what is a brand and your personal brand. So how about from some of you, what is your definition of a brand? Anyone that want to add to that? What is your definition of a brand? Anyone want to add to that? Okay, so what is a brand? You're right. In fact, did you know this is going to be my next slide? what can be branded? A destination, an association, MPI is a brand, Subway, a pair of shoes, Nike, a service, a bank, a person as well. You are a brand. A cup of coffee. Starbucks is a brand. American Red Cross. Well, my definition of a brand is an image or a perception created by a bundle or accumulation of emotional, rational, and sensory experiences. And the way to really message this is in an impactful way is through stories, because stories touch on the emotions and also sensory as well, so they can add to the sensory experience. And there's stories behind product, service, corporate, and personal brands. You're hearing stories all the time, whether you realize it or not. Facebook, you may know heard stories about their founder, Mark Zuckerberg, and Facebook is, only 6 years old, right? And there's stories about him standing in front of Stanford University trying to recruit engineers who are there to work for his company. There's stories behind Dell, the founder. What about Virgin, Richard Branson, and Ford, Nike? But also, in advertising, you're affected by stories as well. I worked for American Express in their traveler's check division, and the commercials around people losing their traveler's checks, but being, saved by the fact that, they could call the 1-800 number for American Express. So there's stories that you're hearing all the time because they're impactful and they're an excellent way to retain information and create those emotional bonds. And Nespresso. When you think of Nespresso, yes. Okay, right. Well, actually, I'm using Nespresso as a kind of a case study here to talk about all the different touch points that a brand has. Okay, so this image or perception that's created, which is the brand, that's created by this accumulation of various touch points. So it could be the TV commercial, the direct mailing, the magazine, the advertisement, the employees. Okay, so I'm thinking, think of Nespresso or, Starbucks to use another coffee, the coffee brand. I think it's because it's so early I'm using coffee case studies. But when you think of, the impression, the brand that comes to mind, it's accumulation, and this isn't a finite list here, but it's an accumulation of all of these touch points, these pings that you have with the brand. Word of mouth, that's huge, especially with the internet and what you can find out about other products and from colleagues or people on the internet. The tagline, the color. What I did is I took Nespresso as a case study. And do any of you use mind maps? Do you know what a mind map is? Okay, so a mind map is a way of visually, in a more of a lateral sense or a radiant sense, messaging something. So I used this is a mind map. And I first actually came across, and I know for MPI, members, it seems like you're all kind of curious about new technology. Well, I became curious about mind maps a few years ago when I was sitting in a conference kind of similar to this, and one of the other participants, he was doodling. Well, I thought he was doodling, but he was making all these lines and boxes and everything, and, you know, here I'm taking notes like this. And afterwards, I said, what are you doing? And he says, oh, I'm taking notes of the presentation using a mind map. Okay, so it's the idea that you have the central theme, and then radiant from that are different lines that go to different parts of whatever the subject is. It's really a fascinating idea, and I've tried to use that more, and it's very visual. So this is just an idea of a mind map, but with Nespresso, to show all of the emotional, rational, and sensory touch points with the Nespresso brand. It's a little bit hard to see, but basically what I have are, here are the sensory branding. So these are, you have the product, of course, the product. These are pictures of the Nespresso boutique, which is on the Champs-Élysées in Paris. And so that's, you know, another touch point. We have the packaging and, you know, the decor, the color palette. Also, other touch points are internal, external, verbal communication of the Nespresso brand. By the way, as you're thinking about this, think of your personal brand as well. Because the idea of personal branding is where you take the same tools and methodologies that are used with corporate product service brands and apply them to your brand. So you have social media. Nespresso uses lots of social media channels to message their brand. LinkedIn, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. Okay, their visual identity, their color palette, their logo. There's George Clooney. There we go. Where's my pointer? There's George Clooney. And here we have internal, external written communication. So there's verbal communication and also written communication around brands. So that's an idea of a mind map, kind of a simple one. But the book that I'm in that will soon be published, I did a mind map for how all the chapters interrelate. So it's a kind of a thing. So you are a brand. So what are your personal brand touch points? Okay, we talked about an espresso and a product brand. Well, for you, word of mouth, WOM, that's huge. Your appearance is a touch point, and that's very impactful. You've probably heard about how, you know, the first 5 seconds, you automatically make all kinds of judgments. Okay, when you see somebody. Also your environment, your answering machine, the message that you have on your phone, that's the touch point. And a lot of people, they don't listen to their own message very often. Well, but other people do. But you might listen to it just to be aware of what it sounds like. What are other people hearing? You know, are there kids in the background? Is it static? Is it clear? Okay. These are all touch points of your brand. Your resume is a touch point. The profile that you put on LinkedIn. How many here are on LinkedIn, by the way? Okay. I'm just going to get a little more water. Okay, so that's another touch point, your profile on LinkedIn. Your business card, or your lack of a business card. Your bio, if you've written a bio. Your elevator pitch. And some of these touch points you control, right? You write your own LinkedIn profile. But people might be blogging about you. You might have digital dirt. So some of these touch points you control, some you don't. Word of mouth, you don't control. So here's Cecile, so talking about a brand called you. Take Cecile, for example. And I did a kind of a mind map on an individual or a professional, an entrepreneur. This could be you. And just looking at all your different touch points that I just identified. So an internal, external verbal communication, the interview, your voice message, your elevator pitch. Some of you mentioned you're on LinkedIn, maybe on Twitter, Viadeo. So you're on social networks. These are more touch points. Maybe you have a video, you use rich media. Anyone here in Second Life? Okay. And if you're an entrepreneur or a consultant, you might have, you know, your own color palette, your logo. You have your resume over here. So you get the idea that this image or perception of you, of the brand called you, is created by all of these touch points. So what is your 2.0 story? So we identified impact of the word story. What is personal branding? And now let's put it together and talk about your 2.0 story. So lots of choices. LinkedIn, Twitter, Viadeo. Do some of you, by the way, suffer from Twitter-noia? You may suffer from it. You just haven't heard it identified as a word. Twitter-noia? No? It's a psychological aversion to anything Twitter. When you hear the word Twitter, it's like, ah. So you have all these different options to message your story on LinkedIn, as I mentioned, on Amazon. I'll go through some of these. But you may experience stress, Twitter-noria. Why? And I took some notes from some of the presentations that I wanted to incorporate. But, you know, they talk about now, these are some, Fisk talked about how you want to think differently. I mean, really, this period that we're living in, this eruption period, is really, I find it amazing. But it can lead to stress. Dr. Bellini, he used the word the new normal, this age that we're living in. I heard seismic shift. I heard creative destruction. To quote Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, he talks about, you've probably heard of the word hacking.
Okay.
Hackers, right? Well, he calls hacking, he says, hacking is not about breaking and entering, it's about being unafraid to break things in order to make them better. Okay. So this whole idea that's really run through some of the presentations in terms of the change that we're experiencing. But it can lead to stress, of course. Here are some ways that we've told our story over time, that people have told their story over time, through the TV, through cave paintings, through the radio, through television, through film. But I feel that the printing press, the Gutenberg press, has had a huge impact, similar to what is going on right now that we're living. Why? Because with the advent of the printing press, things were able to be published. It actually led to the Renaissance, is what they feel. Okay, so it's really an amazing period that we're living in that is compared to the advent of the printing press. So the printing press, the book is actually the tool. The printing press is the technology. Now we have the computer as the tool, and the internet is the technology. Okay, so we're really living in an exciting time. And there's Gutenberg. In fact, I've heard that this period is called, they call the internet or the computer the Gutenberg 2. So my advice to you is to stay zen, but remain curious. But it is overwhelming. So before diving in, there's a few strategic questions you want to ask yourself. Who is your target? Is your story consistent? What is the story you want to convey? What is your privacy comfort level? Okay. And you can control your online identity. Click on to settings. Be familiar with settings on your Facebook profile or on LinkedIn. Be aware you do have control. What is the right communication mix for you? And what kind of learner are you? Now there are so many ways of learning. It's amazing. Podcasts, webcasts, distance learning, blended learning, learning through video. It's not just through books anymore, but maybe you prefer books. Maybe you don't want to, you know, look at your screen. Be more aware of what kind of learner you are, but also start exploring all these different opportunities that are being presented for different ways of learning with 2.0 technology. And some of those have been presented here during the conference. And in terms of your personal brand and how visible you want to be to your target, you know, you don't have to be Donald Trump. You don't have to be Madonna or Ashton Kutcher, who happens to have 5 million followers on Twitter. Why? You don't need to be famous, just selectively famous to your target. And here we transition into how 12 ways to build your brand in bits and bytes and using stories. So you want to take a digital diagnostic, and at this point I have a handout for you. See, and on the handout is a link, there we go, where in a few seconds you can find out if you're digitally dead, digitally distinct, let's see, or digitally dabbling. And you can, the link is actually at the bottom. And I was going to have you take the quiz during the session, but because of time, they're running late, and I think you can do that on your own. But if you, let me see, they want me to end it. Okay, good. So, anyways, on the handout there are 20 questions. It's the personal brand quiz. Maybe it's a little bit too early anyways to take a quiz. But take the quiz, and if you happen to get 20 no's, you get a complimentary seat on one of my webinars. However, if you get 20 yeses, I want to interview you on one of my webinars. But you can take the personal brand quiz later. But at the bottom there, you'll find the link to the Determine Your Google Quotient. And there you'll find out in a few minutes what if you're where you are on the scale. I mean, it makes, you know, the next boring cocktail party you're at, you can just ask, well, what's your Google quotient? But basically, it's a three-step. First, you Google yourself. By the way, how many Google yourselves on a regular basis or have ever Googled yourself? Yeah? Okay. What do you find usually? Your name is? Dina. Okay, when you Google yourself, what pops up on the first page? Okay. Yeah. Let's see, what about at this table? You said you Googled yourself? And what pops up first? Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay, 10 minutes. What about here? Do you know what pops up?
I don't pop up at the beginning. Other people with my same name, they just keep popping up.
Okay. Okay. So you have, okay. So there's a strategy to address that if your name's John Smith. There's strategies to, or if you have digital dirt, you know, there's strategies. But usually if you're on LinkedIn, that your LinkedIn profile will come up first. And you know what? That's where people are going to find out about you. That's your window to the world. Unless you have your own, you know, professional site, or if you're on your corporate site. Usually for corporate sites, it's usually the executive team or the founders. Okay. But if you do have a LinkedIn profile, that comes up first. So it's really important to pay attention to your LinkedIn profile. And I know there are other sessions on LinkedIn, so I don't want to cover that. But that's one of the areas that of expertise. I particularly focus in on the summary. Why? Because that's where you can tell your story, in that summary area. That's where you can make a captivating story about the brand called you. Have you heard of this? If you don't show up in Google, you don't exist. Does that cause you some trepidation? Well, in fact, here, real story. This gentleman on the right is from Nicaragua, and he's a farmer. On the left is this isn't actually my client. I didn't want to put his picture up there. But he's, looks like, a client of mine who's a CFO with one of the Fortune 500 companies. Now, who do you think would be more visible on Google? You would think so, but in fact, he is absolutely invisible. In fact, that's why he's working with me, because he wants to increase his visibility. He is invisible on Google. However, the gentleman on the right from Nicaragua is very visible on Google. Why? Because he's visible. In fact, he has his story on Google. He's an entrepreneur with the organization called Kiva. don't know if you're familiar with Kiva, but it's an organization where they help entrepreneurs in developing countries with small microfinance loans. His whole story is on Kiva. In fact, I'm one of his supporters. I donate with, not donate, but I lend with about 25 other people to help him buy more land and more animals to become, to help him with his business. So in fact, they both exist. One isn't on Google, one is. But surprising which one is. So you can exist. It depends on where your target is. Who is your target? The other way of the 12 ways to build your brand is to take the 360 reach. And there's a link on the handout I gave you, and you can look at that. But basically the 360 reach, quickly, and kind of I went over this more in the personal branding presentation, but it's a tool that gives you external insights and perceptions and feedback from your network. But it's not just amongst your colleagues. It's amongst family, friends. Lisa, could you... I think I have enough for everybody. I was just going to hand out one of these per table, but I think I have enough. So this is just what the questionnaire looks like that can be sent out to your network to get feedback on the brand called you. But you also do it on yourself. So when you get the statistics back and the analysis, you can see how your perception of yourself compares to how other people view you. It's really a fascinating tool, and it's free. It used to have to pay for it, but now it's free. But anyways, you can integrate some of the results into your brand messaging. So you can look at this later, but it's also online. The number two or three tip here to build your brand in bits and bytes is to claim your domain name. How many of you have claimed your domain name? Yeah? It's about $10, €8 a year. This is one of other sites as well, but if you go to GoDaddy.com, type in your name here, and see if the .com is available. If it is, buy it. I advise you to buy the .com, but if that's not available, they'll give you all these other options, .fr, .eu, but I advise you to claim your domain name. Also sign up for Google Alerts, right? It's free, a free service, and anytime your name pops up, or whatever you put in there, I put in my name and then the name visibility branding, but anytime your name pops up on a weekly basis, they'll send you an email that says, oh, you know, Bernadette Martin, it popped up here, here, and here. It's free. There's all these things that are free on the internet now. It's amazing. So you might want to sign up for Google Alerts. Get a professional headshot. How many of you have a photo of yourself online that the public can see? Yeah? Okay. And is it a professional photo or? Okay. Everyone's laughing. Okay. Now, some of these are professionally taken, some aren't. Since people hire me to give them feedback, first I ask them permission, and then I tell them what I think about their photo. So these are some of my clients where I said, really, you got to get a new one. Not all of these are, some of you can tell are professional, some are not. This one, for example, here, he used this photo on his LinkedIn profile. In some respects, it's not professionally taken, but you also have to think of the context of where your photo is. It just looks like a blur, if you can imagine, on his face, on his LinkedIn profile, rather. This is Bart, and he wanted to message that he was international, which I like the map in the background, but he's looking off the page, and so anyways, he's getting a new one. These are good photos. This one, I love the energy in Aaron's photo. Okay. So I advise you to get a professional photo taken. And believe me, and I can tell you from experience, when a friend says, oh, I can take your photo, you'll spend wasted time, go straight to a professional so they have the right lighting and go to a studio, is my advice, unless you know a professional photographer. The other tip for building your brand in bits and bytes is to write your bio, the content that you can put in your LinkedIn profile, your summary statement, And what I'll do, as I mentioned, I can't. What I'll do is I'll send you, if you give me your card, I'll send you the section in my book about writing your bio. Because oftentimes that's the hardest thing for people to do, is put the pen to paper. But also, what do you say? Right? So, and you know, there's lots of books out there about writing your CV. But I haven't found anything as detailed as mine in terms of tips and tools for writing your bio and the content, how to develop the stories. So I'd be happy if you give me your card. I'll be happy to send you the link to the section on that. Okay, that's my book that'll be coming out shortly. And by the way, I do have a bookmark for you. However, I was thinking if you buy the e-version, which would saves trees. So I also advise you to build your LinkedIn profile, which I mentioned. Now the other night I met Katarina. I don't know if you've met Katarina here. I met her for the first time the other night. So I thought, I'm going to Google her, because I was really impressed. She works for the Ritz-Carlton in Ireland. And so we had this conversation. I was really impressed with her brand and what she said. I said, I'm going to see, you know, what happens when I Google her. What is her public window to the world? So I Googled her, and her Facebook profile came up. Her LinkedIn profile came up second. Okay. So knowing that you'll find information on LinkedIn profile, most people would click on that. I also Googled Stephanie Miter, who works for Mövenpick Hotels in Paris. And for her as well, her LinkedIn profile and came up on the first page. Well, this is what I found on Katarina on her LinkedIn profile. Not much. Right.
And then she told me that she reported on
you. Yeah, right. I know. I told her, I said, I Googled you last night. I went on your LinkedIn profile. She goes, oh, I know, I don't have anything. Nothing. I mean, she has 6 connections. I know she's the sales manager at the Ritz-Carlton. But believe me, she has a lot to say. She's energetic. I mean, there's just so many things that she could say. What about Stephanie Miter? This is all she had. So really, LinkedIn is a really great place to message your brand. Also, you can post your profile on association sites. For MPI, as a member, can you post your profile? Can you post like a little summary or, okay. You want to use that opportunity to message your brand as well. Maybe your alumni association, your business school, or you're a member of other industry associations, wherever there's an opportunity to post your profile. What about on Amazon? Have any of you written a review for a book on Amazon? It's a great way to make yourself visible, to raise your Google rankings. Why? Because, you know, the search engine, Amazon, is such a reference site. But when you write a review for a book, hint, hint, mine's coming out, you can also post your profile. And believe me, I wrote a few book reviews in the past, and they always pop up on the first page of my, when I Google myself. So this is what it looks like. I wrote a review for Muhammad Yunus's book, Banker to the Poor. All right? And next to it, this is a screenshot of Amazon, is my picture, and then people can click further and read about the brand called Moi. All right? But a great way to not only show your interests, your passions, your thought leadership around your industry in writing reviews. Also, did you know on LinkedIn you can also write reviews? What about on YouTube? Have you created, you might want to consider creating a video presence on YouTube. And there's different ways that you can do this. There's a company called Video Bio. In fact, I don't know if you saw the video that I made specifically for this conference. If you go onto the knowledge session on the site, if you click, I made like a 10-second video about the conference. So there's a way of messaging around through video, which is a huge trend. I mean, think of, you know, the impact of the videos that you've seen just in the last couple of days. So there's Video Bio. This is a company actually based in Europe, started by a German gentleman who lives in France and Paris, and it's called the It's Me Card. It's Me Card. And you can have your you can attach it to your email signature. And it's just about a 10-second introduction, but it really gives you a touch point for, this is Andrea, she's a consultant. And it could come in 3 different languages, or maybe 5, you know, so you can click, because she actually speaks 3 languages. So she has her little video clip in 3 different languages. But But, you know, corporations are using video to message their the brands of their leaders. Here's Sir Lindsay Owen, the chairman of L'Oreal. You should see on the L'Oreal website, lots of video of the chairman. There's another company here based in Europe called Euromedia, and they do videos of CEOs of major companies and incorporate that. So video is huge. You also want to use keywords to help people find you in the crowd. Okay. And Facebook, I'm not going to go too much into Facebook, but all I just want to say is that in terms of your brand and the messaging of your brand is that you do have a choice. You can control your settings. And if you want to keep it your Facebook profile professional, you have that option. But just be aware.
You can't control your friend.
But what?
You can't control your friend. Some of it started lots of pictures.
But you can control your Facebook profile. For example, if someone takes a picture of you and they tag you, meaning that they identify that that's you in the picture, you know, well, maybe you don't know, but you will show up, or that picture will show up on your profile. You can de-tag it. Okay. Yeah. So you can control it. And you know, the founder, Mark Zuckerberg, he's making an effort. He has to. He's listening to his customers, to his consumers. Right. So, you know, is your story consistent? Is this your picture on the left of your LinkedIn profile that appears in the LinkedIn profile? And then someone clicks onto your Facebook profile and, whoop, a little bit of exaggeration. You might want to create your own professional site or blog. Right. So this is a brand, what I call a branded bio. So a basic bio, say a document that you would use for networking purposes, might have your picture and, you know, a short summary of who you are. But you can go a step further and create your branded bio. So, and it can turn into a static website. This is a static website for a professional who actually works for a company, but she wanted to have her visibility, her branding external from the company. So we created this a version of her bio as a website. Here's Pierre. Interesting story. This is just a screenshot from his professional website. But his dilemma, he was in career transition. He had this career with IBM in high tech. Right. Okay, fine. Okay. And but he actually wanted to transition into microfinance and fair trade. The problem is that his only tool in his toolkit was his resume, which, as you know, resumes are chronological. So if you just looked at his resume, you would think, oh, okay, this, he's slotted for high tech. In fact, he had a lot of volunteer activity around fair trade and microfinance. But on a resume, where does that appear? At the very bottom, under volunteer activities, all right? So he kind of needs, you know, I want to find a job in microfinance. He says, well, let's create your own professional site. And so this is what we put together with different pages that you can click on to learn about, you know, testimonials, about the extensive volunteer projects that he had taken on around fair trade and presentations and conferences that he organized. He has his biography. You can click on his biography, which tells his story about why he's interested in fair trade. His mother, he's French, his father's French, his mother's Bolivian. He, as a young child, he lived in third world countries, and these countries where a lot of fair trade products originate. Yet he was educated at Cornell, at ESSEC, and, you know, where these fair trade products are consumed. So, you know, it's more his story. And then there's a picture of him when he was younger with his little sister, and they're with their friends in the Ivory Coast. So pictures tell us 1,000 words, right? Here's an executive. Here's another professional profile for an executive who actually is a CEO of a major company, but he wanted his own visibility external from the company that it works for. Why? Well, maybe in a few years he might be looking for investors, maybe go into something entrepreneurial, but he wants to message his own brand and own it. Okay, so the 12th tip for building your brand on bits and bytes is to check in with an aggregator. What's an aggregator? Not an alligator. An aggregator is where, such as addictomatic.com, you type your name in there, create create or send, and it searches throughout all types of social media and platforms and finds out where your name pops up in an aggregate form. Okay? And a step further, this one is quite new. It's called FilterBox. And this is really cool. Why? Because it searches through thousands of channels and in real time and slices and dices information. And this actually is something that is used, say, for Toyota, if you want to use an example. I mean, for Toyota to know immediately when, the crisis happened with the retraction of the cars, to know geographically around the world where the buzz is happening. Okay? So this is FilterBox. So this is quite new, actually, kind of a new technology that is being more and more developed. So what are the trends? Virtual worlds is one trend that is here already. Already, the Gen Y generation, or the younger ones. Okay, Gen Y starts about 12 years old, 13. But what about the younger ones? They're already in virtual worlds, all right? Disney has a virtual world. Barbie has a virtual world. World of Warcraft is one of the biggest ones. Have any of you heard of World of Warcraft? Yeah, okay. and Second Life. In fact, there is a conference coming up in Second Life that you might be interested in attending. Why? Because it's around education across all media, around Twitter, around LinkedIn. But the actual conference takes place in Second Life. And it's actually the third conference that's happening around Second Life. Who's in Second Life in terms of corporations? Oh, the list is huge. IBM, Cisco, there's universities, Harvard, Stanford. They buy real estate and they create their own environment that's only accessible to, say, IBM staff. But they really encourage IBM employees to create their avatar in Second Life, which can either, which looks like themselves. Or you can create, something that doesn't, your alter ego. But anyways, there's going to be, they expect about 3,000 avatars that will be attending this conference. That I find it fascinating. Zelda will be there. but there's going to be presentations from top professors and educational institutions around education conferences and meetings in Second Life. So that might be the wave of the future for some of you. Might want to explore that. Another trend is, the fact that we all have our portables, right? Our mobiles. So the trend is video messaging, video chats, all of the applications that are going on. In fact, it was, So you've heard the term, it's a verb now, to Google it. Well, YouTube it. Do you know that's a really great resource to find out information is to go onto YouTube and type whatever it is you're looking about. If you have a question about an application or your iPhone or whatever it is, click or put in your question or keywords, and you would be amazed at the plethora of videos that are out there that people make to help you understand different things. Have any of you used YouTube like you would use Google? You will find it's an amazing resource. And what I like about it is it's visual. Right? There's, these people that are making little video clips of, how to use some of this technology that really, is overwhelming. And this is the best resource. Gen Y. Or even the ones younger than that. Hire them. Have them show you how to use, how to upload. How many of you know how to upload a video onto YouTube? Yeah? Okay. How many would like to learn? It actually, I was a little bit hesitant. Like, this is going to take a long time. I have a 16-year-old that I hire. When I make a list of questions, and I hire him every once in a while. He comes over, and he shows me all this stuff. It's like, it takes 30 seconds. It's really easy. But observe, listen, this generation. Great resource. Another resource is my book, but like I said, I'm going to be providing you with a link to some of the key one of the key sections of the book. So in summary, we talked about the power of storytelling, the brand called you, 12 ways to build your 2.0 brand, some trends and resources. And are there any questions? How'd you guys do on the quiz, or did you have time to look at it? That's all right. I told you to look at it later, so that's... but anyways, can I field any questions about my presentation? Ready for the coffee? Okay, well, just my parting comment is I'd like to know what's your digital story. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.